Swift Talk Radio.
All right, so last Friday, I get ready to go to work, and before I get ready to go to work, I'm going to take out a bag of trash, right? So I go down to the garage to take out a bag of trash, and what is sitting right next to my car but a baby raccoon? And he's just looking at me. And immediately I'm thinking, oh boy, because if you see a baby raccoon, the first question that should cross your mind is, where is mama? Because you don't want to get between a baby raccoon and its mother, because that mother will, she's not going to care how big you are. She's going to attack you, okay? And then you're going to be late for work because you got to go to the hospital and get your rabies shots and who knows what else. So I'm thinking this could be a problem. And then there's another baby raccoon that walks over. And now I'm thinking, okay, there's definitely a mama raccoon around here somewhere. But she never shows up. And I kind of stare at this for the longest time, and I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. This is going to make me late for work, okay, here, because it's like 2:15 in the afternoon. And it's broad daylight, too. It's not that these raccoons, who normally come out only at night, have any business whatsoever being around in the middle of the afternoon. So I'm thinking, where in the world is Mama? So I'm watching them, and I'm watching them, and I'm watching them, and you know what? Eventually I find out that, you know, the Mama raccoon's probably not around. Well, I go back in, I explain this to my dad, because I live with my dad, and, you know, I told him about these baby raccoons that are there, and I think, well, they're right next to my car. You know, if the mama raccoon is out there, and I go into my car, and she charges me before I go to work, you know, I might be late for work. Well, he agrees with me that this is something that's, you know, kind of interesting, or could be a problem. I go back in, I start to get my work boots on, and everything, and get everything together so that I can get going. I look out the window, and here he comes plodding down the driveway, my dad. Okay, he's going to go over there and see for himself. Now, I tell my dad to take it easy from time to time, but here he's like, I'm worried about me getting attacked by a mama raccoon. He's just going to walk right up there anyway. And I'm thinking, okay, great. So he goes over there. Eventually, I get down to my car. I'm back out in the garage again. He must have walked past my car into the garage, and he's watching these baby raccoons. Well, long story short, I go out to my car, I get into my car, the baby raccoons go into the brush nearby, mama raccoon never shows up. Mama raccoon never shows up the next day either, even though these two baby raccoons are still around. You can hear them fighting from time to time in the middle of the night, you know, when I get back. You know, you can hear their screeching in the backyard, like, it sounds really frightening if you don't know what it is. And so I'm thinking, if these baby raccoons shine around again, I'm going to play the odds, assume that one is male and one is female, so then we've got a male bandit and female bandit, so I'm going to name them Bonnie and Clyde, and I've got, like, a 5-pound bag of dog food, the Beneful kind or whatever, you know, and to be honest, that was the cheapest one that they had at Pick and Save, and I'm going to leave it out for them, and then we'll have kind of these pet but not really pet raccoons, which should make the day for the cats. If cats are ever outside and encounter these raccoons, this is probably not a good situation for the cats. But you know what? I like raccoons. So, yeah. Let's go ahead and get the show started here. This is the Sacred Cow Verse House. Alright, greetings to all you fine ladies, extraordinary gentlemen, gifted youngsters, and exceptionally talented household pets. This is the Swift Radio Hour, a.k.a. the Sacred Cow Verse House, for Tuesday, June 16th, 2015. I'm your host, Eric J. Hildeman, and here you'll be challenged by logic and critical thinking as you learn to appreciate how much fun it is to be an infidel. We are the official radio show and podcast of SWIFT, which stands for the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, the largest and oldest group of atheists and agnostics in the greater Milwaukee area. Be sure to check out our website at www.swiftnow.org. This podcast is being recorded live from the outhouse behind the headquarters of Opus Dei in Rome, Italy. Actually, it's being recorded live inside my home here in Greenfield, Wisconsin, which has been voted recently as the most boring suburb in America. You can listen to this podcast at sacredcowfirsthouse.podomatic.com. There you will find every episode of this podcast permanently available, where you can access the podcast's RSS feed, subscribe to it via iTunes, or download the Podomatic app. You can also go to Swift's website, www.swiftnow.org, so there will be two permanent archives for the show. We will always have a new episode, usually, if I at all can, available for you every Sunday at 4 p.m., except for this past Sunday when I missed my deadline because I couldn't get the doggone soundboard to work right. Quick disclaimer, opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, its members, or its affiliate organizations. So, for example, if I say that Chipotle refusing to serve GMOs is naive suburban ridiculousness, that is not an official position of the group. Swift is an organization which is open to all political affiliations, ethnicities, and viewpoints. Well, I'm here. Isabel the Cat is here. Muhammad the Teddy Bear is here. And our next meeting is going to be on Sunday, July 5th at 11 a.m. We're back to our original location at the Chase Bank in Cudahy, located on the corner of Layton Avenue and Packard. This Thursday, June 18th, that's 2 days from now, we're going to have our Swift Social at the St. Francis Brewing Company, 3825 South Kinnikinnick Avenue. That's on the corner of KK and Howard at 6 p.m. That's meeting time. You join us over there. That's every third Thursday of the month. Join us for good food and good conversation, as well as some great craft beers, appropriately named for the seven deadly sins. We look forward to seeing everybody there. And speaking of weekly socializing, we're doing a weekly walk, talk, fitness, and get-together every Friday at Greenfield Park, located north of Lincoln Avenue, which is between 116th and 124th Streets. Everybody meets in the lot by the swimming pool, which I think is called Cool Waters or something like that. It's near the west side of the park at 9 a.m., so if you're looking to socialize and get in shape, go check it out. The park is a beautiful place to be. I love biking through there, actually. Lots going on this week. Swift's Summer Solstice Get-Together is this Saturday, June 20th, at Idle Isle Park in Muskego. We've had it there for the last few years, and it's always been awesome. We'll have a grill for burgers and brats. It's potluck for food and snacks. People who wish to do so can bring beer. It's just a great time. So be sure to check that out. There's a $4 charge for parking if you want to park close by. Otherwise, you can park further out in the street and take a little bit of a walk. There's a $7 fee if by some chance you want to launch a boat out onto the lake, and you can if you like. And if you have a boat to do so, I don't, but some of you out there might. We've had a cocktail barge in years past, and that's been fun. It starts at 11 a.m. and goes until whenever. We usually break up around dinner time, so come out and join us. Well, what an interesting week it's been in the news, as always. Saturday, that was the Rock and Soul Half Marathon at the Summerfest grounds in downtown Milwaukee, right in the middle of Polish Fest. During that event, a 20-year-old Greenfield man collapsed and then died. He was taken to Columbia St. Mary's Hospital and then pronounced dead at 11:12 a.m. Now, see, this is what I always tell people. Exercise is bad for you. I'm just kidding. I don't say that. In Tbilisi, Georgia, that's Georgia, the country south of Russia, not Georgia, the state north of Florida, there was a flood at the local zoo. Animals had to be set free from their pens as the flood destroyed the enclosures, and now they're roaming the streets of the city. Word has it they're building an ark and are about to board 2x2. Yeah. Okay, there's a new disease going around called MERS. You probably heard of it, for Middle East Respiratory System. Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, not system, sorry. Officials at the Centers for Disease Control are advising people to not spread the disease by eating uncooked meat, drinking camel's milk, or, and I love this, drinking camel urine. Like, really? You shouldn't drink camel's urine to avoid getting this disease? Wow, I'll watch my step. Wow, I was actually surprised you could get milk from a camel. But camel urine? Sheesh. Some people will drink anything. Yeah. So, okay, remember, when partying this weekend, no Bud Light. Okay. So, this from an online magazine called Moron, it was published last month on the 15th. In Madison, West Virginia, there was a pit bull attack. No, the pit bull didn't attack anyone. It was an old woman who attacked the pit bull. No, really. Audrey Ranch, age 62, attacked and bit the dog. Really. But the story gets weirder. She bit the dog's testicles off. Yeah. Believe it or not, it gets better than that. Police were called. The woman had her son bury her in the ground so that she could avoid getting arrested. She used a piece of garden hose as a breathing apparatus. Police found her anyway, dug her up, and arrested her. The dog is expected to make a full recovery, although neutered. The woman is facing a first-degree animal cruelty charge. Wow. Well, the Wall Street Journal reported back on June 4th that researchers have found a new drug that is essentially female Viagra. It's not completely approved yet, but it's underway, so we are told. Wow. What can I even say about this one? You know, no more cold fish for dinner, I guess. So now we have pills to help both men and women have more sex, and it gets more difficult than ever to get the pills needed to keep people from having kids as a result of having all that extra sex. Yeah, that makes lots of sense. Get set for 40-somethings fueling a baby womb. Yeah, or 50-something, I don't know. Oh, man, isn't it weird in this society that we have pills that will give old men erections, pills that will get old ladies horny, but we don't have pills that will cure people of Alzheimer's disease. Yeah, I find that to be a travesty and injustice on a grand scale. Well, Miley Cyrus is making headlines again, this time for mocking Christians, saying that they believe in Old Testament fairy tales and that those who oppose gay marriage shouldn't get to make the laws. Hannah Montana, I think I finally love you. In a move that proves that President Obama is basically a moderate Republican in all but name, our trophy president has said that tax dollars should no longer go to supporting huge stadiums for sports teams. They should instead go for small stadiums for no, I'm kidding. It shouldn't go for stadiums at all, is what he's saying. Figure that. It takes a Democrat to remind the Republicans of their own values sometimes, doesn't it? And finally, Josh Duggar. Josh Duggar. We're not going to talk about Josh Duggar. All right. Well, ask Eric. If you have a question you'd like to ask me, go ahead and write me. It doesn't have to be about atheism. Ask me about sports. Ask about science. Ask about science fiction. Ask me about Christian theology. Ask me anything. You can email me at carlsaganjr@aol.com. Make sure to put Ask an Atheist in the subject line. Or you can also reach me on Twitter. My Twitter name is @SaganJr. Or you can simply find me on Facebook under my plain old name of Eric Hildeman. So, it's time for an episode of The Stupid Files. Dum 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 dum. Dum 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 dum. Dum dum dum. The Stupid Files, the continuing story of intrepid investigator Thomas Munday, who finds examples of such stupidity, it's criminal. If only being this big a moron were somehow against the law. Dum 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 dum. Dum 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 dum. This week, Detective Munday is down under in the country of Australia, where one Christian couple has found a way to protest gay marriage in a way that truly defies the word stupid. No, they are not picketing like the morons of the Westboro Baptist Church, nor are they campaigning to protect their so-called religious freedoms by robbing others of their own freedom of religion. Instead, they say that if gay marriage is introduced to Australian law, they will protest the move by getting a divorce. Dum, 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 dum. Nick Jensen, the husband, writes in the Canberra City News that he will continue to live with his wife Sarah and their children, and that they will consider themselves still married, but they will no longer be legally married. He writes, "Marriage is the union of a man and a woman before a community in the sight of God, and marriage of any couple is important to God regardless of whether that couple recognizes God's involvement or authority in it. If our federal parliament votes to change the timeless and organic definition of marriage later on this year, it will have moved against the fundamental and foundational building block of Australian society and, indeed, human culture everywhere. Indeed, it raises a red flag when the government decides it is not content only having sovereignty over land, taxes, and the military, but words themselves. This is why we are willing to divorce. By changing the definition of marriage, marriage will, in years to come, have an altogether different sense and purpose.
Dun, 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 dun.
Mr. Jensen works for the American Christian Lobby, which campaigns against same-sex marriage, but the Canberra City News is now facing a backlash from readers who found the article via social media, writing quite correctly that such stupidity is so inane and irrelevant that it amounts to homophobic propaganda. The City News responded by pointing out that this is an unusual love story and newspapers would be nothing if they did not report on such stories as this. Unfortunately, the real stupidity, according to Detective Monday, is not that a newspaper would decide to report what this couple intended to do in protest of gay marriage. Rather, the real stupidity is that this couple would think that anyone, newspaper story or not, would give a rat's ass whether or not they were married. According to the numbers, nearly a third of Christians are divorced, another third are on their second marriage, and a significant percentage live together and have children together but never bothered to walk down the aisle. If Christians want to defend the integrity of marriage, they might want to look to their own house first before seeking to rob others of their freedom just because they do not share their faith or their interpretation of their particular faith. And that concludes this week's Stupid Files.
Dum, 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 dum.
All right, well, I was going to do a segment for the Holy Babble, and are getting now to the point where I've kind of run out of original material, and I'm scripting new things, and in the process of doing all of that, okay, I'm coming up with some... Uh-oh. No, you gotta be kidding. I guess not. Okay. Yes, I better answer this. Hello, you are on the Sacred Cow Verst House. Hello?
Hey, Eric.
Uh-huh.
It's me.
Yeah.
You thought you got rid of me, didn't you?
No, I knew you'd call back sooner or later.
Yeah?
Yeah. So what is it this time? You've got a whole new take on the complexity argument, or maybe you want to argue some C.S. Lewis with me, or you've got some inane quote from some creationist hack that I discarded a long time ago, or what?
Actually, no.
No?
No, actually, I just wanted to ask you a question.
You wanted to ask me a question?
Yeah.
They're not sending you to Iraq.
What?
They're not sending you to Iraq. The Navy Reserve isn't going to call up anybody. The war will be over in like 2 weeks, and George Bush will lose re-election anyway.
Yeah, but... Wait, really?
Really?
Well, that's not really what I wanted to ask you about.
No?
No, I wanted to ask you about something else.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're not a believer anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering, how did you lose your faith?
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty serious about what I believe, so I'm wondering what could possibly turn somebody like me around and oppose the Lord Jesus?
Wow. That's ballsy of you to ask.
Yeah, I know.
Well, okay, basically, here's what happened.
Okay.
You know that historical backgrounds of the New Testament class, the one with Debbie Gill?
Yeah.
Well, that had the lesson about synoptic gospels and how nobody's ever managed to combine all four gospels into a single narrative, right?
Yeah, I was intrigued by that. I thought I'd give it a try, seeing as how nobody's managed to do it before. Mm-hmm. In fact, right now I'm
typing
up
the
Gospel
of
Mark.
Yeah,
since it was the first gospel written, and I'm almost done, and then I'm going to combine John with that one, since that was the last and the most discordant, and after that...
You're in for a shock.
What?
You're going to combine Matthew with it, right?
Well, yeah.
It won't work.
What do you mean?
There are too many discrepancies. You won't be able to combine them.
Discrepancies?
Yeah. See, I'm sure you remember me mentioning this to you, but I've been over all this before.
Right.
Yeah, so here's the first problem I discovered. The Gerasene demoniac.
You mean where Jesus drives the demons out of that demon-possessed guy, and the demons put up a fight, but then Jesus asks, "What is your name?" And the demons respond by saying,
"Legion, for we are many." Right, well, in Mark and Luke's version, there's one demon-possessed guy, but in Matthew's, there's two.
What?
I said Matthew's version has two demon guys.
So Mark's version says there's only one?
Well, no, but...
So that version isn't limited to just one demoniac?
Well, look, one is a pretty straightforward observation, so I'd say yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, hang on, let me look that up.
Okay. All right. Mark chapter 5. Right?
Okay, Mark chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Man with an unclean spirit.
Yeah. All right, now Matthew chapter 7.
Yeah. There came two possessed with devils.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, now you know what I'm talking about. See, the Bible is not all it's cracked up to be, man.
And that's what drove you out of the ministry?
Well, not by itself, no. I mean, there was also the absurdity of hell.
What do you mean?
Well, I've told you this before, simply that no just and merciful God would put people through a religiously confusing world like this one and then consign them to hell for all eternity, even if they do something as innocent as choose incorrectly. I mean, an infinite punishment for a finite crime is pretty fucking extreme, you know? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And even if the crime committed is cut and dried, it's wrong. And in the case of religion, determining what God wants is impossible.
You have to listen to God through your own heart.
Huh?
Well, you just quiet your soul, and you listen to what God's will is, and you will hear it. God's still small voice will speak to you.
You're kidding, right? I mean, you know that I've already critically examined this still small voice thing empirically through my own goddamn personal experience and lived the fucking proof that it's bullshit, right?
All right. There's no need to swear at me about it.
Sorry, I lost my temper.
It's all right.
It's just, sometimes I think you forget that I'm you, you know?
Well, you are me, but alternate universe and all that.
Right.
Well, thanks for telling me about what made you an atheist.
Oh, sure, no problem.
Of course, you realize that might mean that I'll steel myself against all of those arguments and never become the atheist you became.
Or you might become an atheist yourself anyway.
Well, time will tell, man.
That it will.
Well, take it easy.
Sure, you too.
Yeah, you know I'll be calling you again, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll talk to you then, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, my past self, everybody. All right, well, it's on to the fish barrel, and for our fish barrel segment, we're putting the sound effects aside to share some sad news. Our friend and our sister-in-arms, Anne Nicole Gaylor, mother of Annie Laurie Gaylor, has passed away at the age of 88, a true feminist leader who recognized that feminism and atheism were inextricably intertwined because of the way mainstream religion oppresses women. She was a matriarch of the atheist movement, a true Wisconsin heroine, and she will be dearly missed. Well, it's official. Science teachers in Louisiana are using the Bible as a science textbook. Some figures say that as many as 1 in 8 teachers are teaching creationism in science class. In other words, 12.5% of public schools at least are teaching talking snake theory as though it were science, and teaching that the heartless Old Testament monster who drowned an entire global population out of spite and slaughtered all the innocent firstborn of Egypt, among many other acts of genocidal criminality and insanity, is their one true God. Yeah. Excuse me while I try not to throw up. That having been said, we did score a victory on that front. Officials in a public school in Glendive, Montana, wanted to send a bunch of third graders on a field trip to a creationist museum there, but the Lawyers of Americans United put a stop to that. The Glendive Dinosaur and Fossil Museum, as it is called, is one of the largest and most elaborate creation museums out there. I haven't visited that locale yet, but I do plan to, if only to report on it and laugh. Oh, here's another one. British comedian Eddie Izzard says that he will run for mayor of London in 2020 as an unapologetic atheist. He says the campaign will be successful. He says, quote, "We had a Second World War happen on our landmass. Of the 50 million that died, probably about 35 million died in that region," he said, "and I think we noticed God wasn't there or didn't care," close quote. Well, we wish him the best of luck. All right, well, guess what? It's about that time. Yes, time to bring the grinding gears of the Sacred Cow Versed House to a grinding halt. As always, I promise that I'll always do the very best to make sure that here you'll get the best possible brain food for your precious time. Next time, we will discuss how two transgendered celebrities go about having sex with each other. Make sure to also listen to the other podcasts affiliated with the Freethought Alliance in Milwaukee, the Mythicis Milwaukee Show, and the Craftcast, part of your complete secular Sunday breakfast at night. Also, make sure to catch the She Thinkers on Atheist Television, I think is what it's called. Okay, don't miss that. Don't forget also, the Sacred Cow Verse House also exists as a blog. You can read original material and various segments heard on this show at sacredcowversehouse.blogspot.com. Opening music theme is by Universal Dice. Check them out at universaldice.com. And the closing atheistic music sampler, which you'll hear in a moment, is Hard Believer by First Aid Kit. Until next time, this is Eric J. Hildeman reminding you that nearly half of all people are below average. Good luck, thank you, and may Vishnu the Creator go with you. So long, everybody.
About morality.